Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Bear and Balanced. I'm Jeff Burkus. On the other side of the screen, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. The Lester, the Bears, 1-0 with a classic Chicago Bears victory. How did you find the Chicago Bears win?
It's funny because, like, you know, I'm watching, obviously, the dread is there, right? As Bears fans, we're like, oh my God, here we go again. The quarterback's going to suck. The defense is getting shredded. You know, they're down 17-0. The dread is there. The dread is real with Bears fans. We have that in us. But then when I'm doing the rewatch today, and obviously I know the Bears are going to come back and win, you know, as you're watching it, you kind of have a different perspective as you're watching, and you're like, okay, you know, if this ball would have bounced this way, way different outcome. This block would have been picked up here, way different outcome. This catch would have been made, way different outcome. So you kind of see these little nuanced things in the game on the rewatch where you're like, that's not as bad as you would have thought originally.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. You go back and watch it again, and it's a three and out. You know, they're exchanging these three and outs, right? But the Bears defense is like really clawing down and forced 2 3-and-outs. And then the Titans come back and they've clearly like, okay, these guys are swarming to the football. So let's do something about that. So they're running all of this kind of counteraction stuff. They're really messing with the flowing to the football. It's really smart football, and they're just kind of like powering that down. They get the touchdown, and it's like, okay, like that's good. You know, the Bears can make the adjustment. That'll happen. Like that's just normal football where one side sees something, they're gonna make a change. They hit gold, and then the Bears will make an adjustment, and you know they'll go from there. And then they kick off, and Velus Jones just can't handle a kickoff and then kicks it right to them or whatever the heck that was. It's just boom. And now it's a turnover. Bears defense right back on the field. They just gave up a touchdown, right back on the field. Now, if this was a bad defense, they're going to give up another touchdown, right? But they didn't. So, I mean, there's just this like, oh, well, they showed resilience, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of like instances where the Bears defense looked really great. Now, if you want to go rose-colored glasses, I'm not going to be the guy to tell you, like, hey, I know for sure everything's going to be okay. But what I'll tell you is it's game one. Offenses are generally behind defenses. It's year one of an offense. It's a rookie quarterback. Like, you have all of the things that are markers that tell you that this thing would start off slow. And it was pretty close. Like, there were things that just needed to get cleaned up a little bit, and I think you would have seen a lot more. But also, there were some scoring drives, right? Like, it wasn't like there was nothing. There was a little bit of movement, just not enough to win most professional football games.
You know, there were moments, like you said. I think that's key. The key is, obviously, it's a rookie. You know, yeah, we all wanted 300 yards, you know, 5 touchdown performance out of the gate. We all kind of had a feeling it's going to be rough because, you know, what was the stat? There has been a rookie first overall draft pick that's won a game since Carr in like 2000, whatever. So it's been a long time, like 14 straight L's, right? So we kind of had a feeling, not every rookie CJ Stroud, you know, they'd all step in and take their team to the playoffs. So we knew there'd be growing pains. So I thought it'd be a little better than it was, but like I said, on the rewatch, you're like, okay, there's some stuff to work with here. I also wasn't as down on Shane Waldron as I was during the first watch. There were some things I saw that he did where I'm like, okay, I see how this design will set something up down the road, because there's a counter off it, and there's like a second counter off it. So I'm like, okay, there's some stuff here I like in his offense. The sequencing of plays again was a little better on the rewatch. I'm like, some of it makes more sense. But at the end of the day, though, you got to execute, and the Bears had some problems up front in executing.
Yeah, and we'll get into the categories here in a minute, but I think one of the things that stuck out to me a little bit on the initial watch was, boy, we're seeing a lot of Travis Homer. Boy, we're seeing a lot of Gerald Everett. We're seeing a lot of guys that may not have been players that we would have thought would have had healthy snap share. And as I kind of sat and thought about it and looked around the league, watched a fair amount of football over the weekend, it's week one. These guys had, you know, a multiple week break after week three. And most of those starters didn't play in the week three of the preseason game of the preseason. They didn't really play since week two of the preseason. And then if you go back then, like, how much are they playing? They're playing about a half, right? If that, and some of these guys weren't playing at all. So it's tough to simulate how much energy it takes I think it's a shock every year. Like, oh yeah, geez, these games are long. I got to get kind of back up to there. And so I think there's a little bit of that where let's keep these guys fresh, because we know that most of these guys aren't going to be able to play. Now you can't do that with your offensive line, right? Your offensive line is going to play everything. So, you know, I don't know what DJ Moore's snap share was, but it was pretty high. Those guys are going to, you know, you kept a lot of those guys in, but I wasn't shocked to see a running back rotation. I wasn't shocked to see that. Now, if we're a month from now and Travis Homer is getting more than Khalil Herbert, I just don't understand what's wrong with Khalil Herbert. And people are going to, oh, you can't pass block. Okay, you don't have to use the running back in your pass protection when you call a pass play. Like, you can do other things to account for that. And everybody said, well, it's super predictable when Herbert's in there, they're going to run. Well, one, no, that's not true. They still pass off of that. But two, even if that's true, and you say like, oh, it's so predictable, they know that they're going to run, why is his yards per carry so high, Lester? Who cares? That's the outcome you care about, is how good of a rusher is he? How often is he breaking off explosive runs? How often is he moving the chains? He's still really efficient as a ball carrier. Who cares if everybody knows you're going to give it to him?
This is definitely a Herbert Stan pod. I mean, it has been since, you know, he's a good running back. I mean, that's what he is. We all know his deficiencies, but like you said, you know, there's ways to hide things. You don't have to have him stay in there as a blocker. Have him do a check release, have him chip and release, you know, just enough to get out there. And, you know, does he have the best hands in the NFL? Probably not, but, you know, he's gotten better with his hands every year. I think there's a way to use them. I just think, like you said, it's week one. You know, there are a lot of weird combinations happening. You look all around the league, you hear a lot of ex-players that are in now analysts all talking. These first few weeks are like preseason games because no one plays preseason anymore. You know, these guys are coming in, and like you said, plus down the others, the break between preseason and the regular season, so there's an extra time there. So this is their way to get used to it. You know, you can't really tell what a team is until a few weeks into the season. So, you know, it's going to be a tough go for the Bears here next week in Houston. That's a pretty good football team, but we'll know more about this franchise here at the end of the month.
Yeah, you can't really tell what a team is, and so it's nice to be able to get the victories however you can get them. And then once things kind of settle, then you kind of know, like, okay, this team looks like it's pretty good. Here's the defeat. Like, then you have an idea of what the matchups look like and what's a surprise and what's not. I mean, the Patriots, you know, their over under win total for the year was like 3 wins or something like that. And everybody's got the Bengals in the playoffs and they beat the Bengals.
The Bengals were my survivor pick this week. So
I actually moved off of them because as I was thinking about it, I thought, Jamar Chase thing, the T. Higgins thing, Burrow has started slow in the past. So I actually moved off of it, and I took the Seahawks.
I was about to move off it, and then I talked myself out of it. So I'm like, no, I'm going to stay with it. The Patriots are going to stink. Well, what did I know? At least the silver lining is I don't got to worry about checking that survivor lineup every week. Now I can just
Now it's done. You're good.
Focus on my fantasy teams, and
it's not a three strikes and you're out. It's just a one strike.
Oh, I may have to double check it. It's the WCG league, so I think that might be. Oh, it might be a two strikes, two or three strikes. So I'll have to still check it.
I like the three strikes and you're out survivor leagues. I'm in one that's just a one strike. I just did the national Yahoo one, and that 40 some percent got knocked out from that from that Bengals pick. So
week one,
that was good. That was good for me. Yeah. All right, let's get into our categories, Lester. We should start off every episode with a trench tribute because the big guys, no captains along the offensive or defensive line this year. So we got to make sure that we give a little bit of extra time to the big guys. And a couple of, I think, very much worthy candidates for this first initial week. Who do you got for your trench tribute?
I'm going to go with nose tackle Andrew Billings. As my trench tribute, I as I'm watching him, he was flashing, right? Like, man, he looks pretty good. You know, he's not really filling the stat sheet, but he had two tackles. He had a tackle for loss. He had two quarterback hits. But then I saw like the analytics. He had four pressures in the game, you know, and he's not really known for his pressures. And then another thing I noticed in the game is I noticed it right off the bat for the first series. And this is something that I saw when I was in camp, that they weren't flipping their three tech, one tech. They were kind of letting, if you're on the right side, when the offense comes out, just stay there. And if the strength dictates you are now the three, then you're now the three tech. So they did that with Billings, you know, quite a few times. He was playing the three tech, and you know, he doesn't have the elite quickness that you would want out of that position, but his power, his hand use, he has a real good swim. I mean, he's really active with what he does with his hands. And like we said, he's one of the strongest players in the game. So he was very effective. I think he's going to enjoy playing some three tech stuff as opposed to always being the guy on the shade. So Billings is my week one trench tribute.
I love it. I mean, I always write down two names. He was one of them to me. He was on a heater last year. I mean, he looked so good. Yeah. At one point last year. And I think even Ryan Poles was like, I got to get this guy. Let's get this guy some ink. Like we got to get this guy signed here for a little longer. So he earned like a contract extension last year. And yeah, I mean, he gets worn down a little bit. He's, again, those big guys, that'll happen to him. So he might not have that pass rush flash all the time, but he's fun. He is a fun play. If you like watching the trenches, he is fun to watch because he's just a big bowling ball, right? He's just this big dude and he's moving and he's getting pressure. Like I said, four pressures. That's just got to be scary, even for, you know, a bigger quarterback like Will Levis. Like, I don't want to get hit by that guy. That guy's gigantic, right? So he's flashing in front of you. That'll surely speed up your clock. I'll take the obvious one then. And that's Darrell Taylor. Wow. I mean, what a find by Ryan Poles. And again, we've talked about this. Why is this player available? Well, you got a new coach in Seattle putting in a new system. They have a lot of defensive linemen, a lot of rush linebackers and defensive linemen. They had a pretty good rotation, and just he didn't necessarily fit with what Mike McDonald wanted to do. And so he was made available. Ryan Poles made a very team-friendly offer. I mean, that's not much to acquire his services. And he comes in and just flashing speed and effort. And there's a couple moves, maybe a little more than I gave him credit for. He was flashing a few moves there, but it just seems like I'm going to fly around the corner and good luck trying to stop me. And all of that effort, it resulted in two sacks and a forced fumble and just absolutely launching himself into Bears fandom favorite, right? Like, I mean, a guy that plays with his hair on fire like that. I mean, you're already going to be a fan favorite. But then like the other thing, and I wanted to kind of throw this to you, is that what a perfect compliment to Montez Sweat.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's a good one there because, you know, I heard him compared to Yannick Ngakoue, like a younger Yannick Ngakoue with kind of what he does. You know, he has some question marks about his run, the setting the edge, his defense against the run. But, you know, I didn't see a lot of problems. You know, I saw him active. If anything, I did see him over pursue a little bit, when I thought he, you know, again, I don't know the scheme. It seemed like a couple times where he had contained, it looked like he overpursued. It didn't hurt him this week, though. But I think when teams kind of see him on tape, they may try and counter him or kind of, you know, hit him with a reverse or something to end around because they're going to get him sucked in there going after a play fake. But, yeah, he was active. You know, he is one of those guys where, you know, because Sweat's going to get so much attention. You know, Dexter and Billings are pretty stout players. He should always have one-on-ones. You're not going to double-team him. So I think with a guy like Taylor coming off the edge in a rotation, you know, I think they can just kind of, you know, pepper offensive tackles with a bunch of fresh bodies. And this week, it was Taylor. Taylor was the guy that benefited.
Yeah, going up against a rookie, and that may have been part of it. May not have been ready for the speed. You know, obviously he's taken his game up since he's been a pro and been able to work on even getting even faster off the edge. Now, maybe some weeks you're going to, I mean, you know, Laremy Tunsil next week might not be too impressed with that speed. Laremy Tunsil's like one of the best left tackles in the game, right? Yeah. So Laremy Tunsil may just say, okay, try it, you know, like, and just envelop him. And maybe, you know, Booker's long arm is going to work a little bit more. Maybe Booker gets a few more snaps, right? So it's nice to have a mix of moves in your players, because some tackles are more susceptible to others. Now, you'd love it if everybody is just a beast and can win against pretty much everybody. Montez Sweat is a really good defensive end. He can have success against pretty much anybody in the league, right? Well, those guys are really expensive and really hard to find. And so if you're going to build a room, I like the idea of having different skill sets. And so I like him even more now that I've seen him work. One, the effort is awesome. Like that never goes out of style. But two, it's just, I think it's a skill that I'm not sure. I mean, Booker's quick off the edge, but I think he's using a much more of a long arm move than Taylor is moving. He's trying to just get around. Like he's using speed and bend. So I like that combination. It looks like that could be really fun to watch.
Did you see the video? I'm not sure who shared it on Twitter, but someone shared it. They kind of showed him after a sack when he got it. He just kind of walks off like, that's it, you know. And then whoever it was, they compared it to the cool guy at the explosion in the movie, right? The explosion's behind you, you just kind of walk.
Yeah. So much CGI that in, right?
Yeah. Been there, done that. Let's go.
Well, the chaos was going on around there because it was a forced fumble that was recovered by the Bears. And he's just walking off. Whatever. Cool. Let's go. Yeah, that's great. No celebration. Just doing it. All right, let's move on to caught in a numbers game. So this is our stat of the week. I've got kind of a depressing one, but did you come up with something fun?
I did. My number is 17, and I'm sure as Bears fans, we kind of know that's how many points they were down. They came back 17 points, and that's actually the fourth largest comeback in franchise history. Is tied for the fourth largest comeback in franchise history, you know. And I want to kind of mention this because there are two games within this realm here. Obviously, the Cardinals game, the Urlacher game, the Hester game, the Tillman game. You know, that game was huge. Against the Cardinals, the Dennis Green, you are who we thought you were game. So, you know, they came back in that one, 2006. Right, that was a great season for the Bears. But there's another game in here that kind of mixed in, which was also a 17-point comeback, and that was the Mike Brown against the Niners game.
Oh.
The pick where he kind of got it, and he took it back. So, you know, two games in this realm of comeback area that really harken back to two pretty good Chicago Bear football teams.
Yeah, I love it. That was the most fun year of cheering that I've ever had was that 0-1 team. That was a lot of fun. That was just an unexpectedly fun team. So yeah. That's
Dick Turan. Dick Turan's greatest hits that year.
Yeah. Always good to call back to the Mike Brown era. Mike Brown was my favorite player by a long shot. I loved him. My number also 17. What are the odds of that? Yeah. 17 is the difference between DeAndre Carter's 131 total yards of punt return and kick return yardage and the Chicago Bears offense total yardage was 148, which is a difference of 17.
Wow.
Two things with that number. One, did we know DeAndre Carter was going to be this effective on returns? Because, hello, like, he was good. Yeah. Like, kick returns, effective. Punt returns, like, good, effective. Like, I was really impressed in both facets. And I know that part of it is the kick returns feel like they're kind of changing a little bit to where, like, they're maybe more like a, like, a lot of people are putting running backs back there. We saw Khalil Herbert back there. We saw Velus Jones back there, who I guess is now running back. So I think maybe there, a lot of us are going towards running backs for the kick returns and then wide receivers for punt returns, but Carter looked good at both. And yeah, we've talked about how hard it is to find a guy that can do both. And did you know this? Did you know that he was going to be this good?
He had a cup of coffee with the Bears a few years ago, right? I mean, he was in a team for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I think he had a really nice year with the Chargers. I want to say there was one year where he was really effective as a returner and with the Chargers, and as a receiver, he was pretty good. So I kind of like the pickup. I just kind of thought he may kind of get lost in the shuffle because it's a pretty deep receiver room the Bears had in camp here, you know, but, you know, he did enough. He earned his job and now he's in the team, and now it looks like he's going to be a primary, you know, kick returner and punt returner. I mean, he's always been good punt returner. And if he's your guy on kick returns, I mean, that's fine. Velus, I mean, he still has a place in his roster, obviously, because he has that explosive speed. But I don't know. I want to see, you know, on the game, you know, Mark Sanchez pointed out, you know, a really good thing there. He talked about how Velus, when he went to field the kickoff, he had his hands too low. He said, you want to have your hands and your elbows higher for those kickoffs. And I never really thought of it that way, but, you know, that was a good point from Mark Sanchez, former Bears legend quarterback there.
Maybe his only good point of the day, because, boy, Mark Sanchez had some.
Yeah.
Not to pick on the guy, but, geez, maybe learn how to pronounce names. That was rough. It's Mark Sanchez. Okay. I have always thought, and this is easy for me to say sitting on this chair, but I've always thought that fielding a punt is such a high level skill, because you've got traffic around you. You've got to figure out if you're going to return it or not. And so there's a little bit more than just looking at the ball. Plus, a punt can just flutter in weird ways. It can get caught in the wind. Like, it is the degree of difficulty on a punt, I think, is really high. And I'm always impressed by guys that do it well. A kick return is generally pretty predictable. The ball goes end over end. It's really hard to see a lot of variation. And the ones that do, they're like going out of bounds, right? If a kicker like kind of hooks it or something, and then you're kind of playing the like, oh, is this going to go out of bounds for a penalty? You're not really trying to field them. And so you rarely see guys struggle catching a kick. And I just don't get it. Like, I don't have a lot of patience for this, because I'm just not – If we were talking about, man, he just keeps muffing punts, we really want to make him, and it's like, okay, guys, see, like, he just clearly doesn't have the skill to return a punt. But when it's like, hey, he just clearly doesn't have the skill to catch a kickoff, you're like, wait, what? How is that possible? Like, I just don't know of a lot of skilled players that can't do that. So it's just weird to me. Like, it's just weird. Is he doing that in practice too? Is he like, what's the deal with that?
You know, we saw him in camp last year. I saw him in camp this year. And, you know, I mean, you don't see that. I think it's mental at this point. With a guy like that, when that happens, that's what is that? They call the yips, right? When you just can't do something that you should be able to do, you just can't do it when the lights are on. So I think at some point he may get another crack back there. But for the next few weeks, I think it's going to be DeAndre Carter as your primary guy.
And that's fine with me. I think we are pretty comfortable with that. All right, let's move on to the Twitter segment. And we're going to continue to call it Twitter, just for the record. For any of you new to the show,
it's sweet tweets.
It's sweet tweets. We're just calling it Twitter. So whatever. A to Z Sports Nashville, which is at A to Z Sports. They have a quote here from Titans head coach Brian Callahan. He says, if we just punted on first and 10 every time, we might have won the game. Is that like, where is that? If the Denny Green quote of they are who we thought they were, and that's why we took the field and we let them off the hook, right? Like, wonderful quote. If that's a 10, this is coming in at like a 7. Like, yeah. I mean, this is pretty hot to basically call out. This is his first game. to basically call out your offense and be like, if we just would have punted on first and 10, we might have won.
The Titans are pretty salty after this loss. You know, I mean, I think they really, I mean, there was a quote by Jeffrey Simmons that was, he was really upset about things too. And, you know, a couple other guys had some bad things to say about things. So, I mean, it's, you know, it was a game they probably thought they had in hand, you know, and a lot of the pundits had the Bears winning. Obviously, all the eyes were on Caleb Williams. I mean, he was the talk of the offseason. The league was putting him, you know, in the front of a lot of marketing campaigns. Hard Knocks is there, so he was the star of Hard Knocks. So I'm sure the Titans are like, F this guy, F this team. You know, wasn't it one of the Titans that kind of took a crack at the nail painting? Yeah, so it was Simmons. So, yeah, so, you know, they were probably sick of it, and they really wanted to get this win and you know, stick it to the Bears, stick it to Chicago. And, you know, it's funny. Whenever I think of the Titans, I always think of the game from a few years ago where Bears fans went to Nashville and drank all the beer in the whole city. So whenever the Bears play the Titans, whenever I think the Titans, that's the first thing I think of how Chicago fans.
That was the Peanut Tillman multiple forced fumble game.
That was four forced fumbles. That was, I think, Urlacher touchdown that game. It was like a 50-some-odd point.
Oh, it was a
explosion.
Thrashing.
And they drank all the beer in the whole city. So
that is also a very Iowa Hawkeyes story, by the way. There are multiple, like, Hawkeyes go to this bowl game and, like, there's no beer left.
Oh man.
Like, so it's like very, there's a big overlap in my, when that story came out with Bears, I was like, oh geez, like there's a lot of Bears fans are Hawkeyes fans, and they just, they must have wanted to travel to Nashville. I love the quote. That's one of my favorite quotes. The surrender Cobra, picture of Will Levis after that pick six, where he's just on the ground with his hands on his head. Like,
what was he doing? It was like, he's, you know,
it's in the middle of the play, and he's just like, oh no, he's on his knees. It is amazing. It is, hang it up. We need to get it. We need to do like a picture of the week or something. And that one's just going to be like the image of the week, but it might be the image of the year. It's so good.
I'm going to have to check that through Getty and USA Images, see if there's an actual good picture of that somewhere. Cause right now all I've saw were the screenshots, but
I posted one earlier.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. But I'll we'll get a good one. We'll get a good one off Getty. All right. Your tweet of the week.
So Patrick Finley, of course, worked for the Chicago Sun-Times. You know, he kind of sent his tweet out after the game talking about Caleb Williams' 55.7 pass rating is the 11th worst debut among all quarterbacks picked first overall since 1970. The list of performances worse than his include John Elway, who had a 0, Terry Bradshaw, 19.3, Matthew Stafford, 27.4, Troy Aikman, 40.2, Eli Manning, 45.1, and then Kyrie Thompson, quote, he tweeted it as a joke. Oh, so you're saying that Caleb's on the way to the Hall of Fame.
Right. I was going to say, Hall of Famer should be in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer should be in the Hall of Fame.
There's like, you know, 12 Pro Bowls, 3 Hall of Famers, you know, multiple rings in this group. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So as upset as we were over what we saw, you know, that game will not define his career. And like what you said, I think is perfect. It's fitting that the Chicago Bears franchise will start his career with a typical Chicago Bears dub.
Yeah, I love it's great research from Patrick to have that out there, because you're like, oh wow, it's really bad. Oh wait, look at all these guys that he's on this list with. Yes, this happens. It is what it is. It's, you know, those are some of the best names to ever play the game. You know, and Peyton Manning didn't have a very good first day either. I don't know if he was on that list or not, but I will say I gotta go back before. So I did not come up with that stat. I lifted it from our friend Brendan Chagrou. So I just want to make sure that I'm giving him credit for it, because I gave him a hard time on Twitter for posting it. But when I was putting the show together, I was like, that's pretty funny. That's pretty good. I got to include it. So Brendan gets the credit for the stat of the week. You already brought us into Caleb. So let's go to our new segment.
Yeah.
Caleb's Corner. Caleb Williams, 14 of 29 for 93 yards. That's not fun. That's not very good. However, he didn't have a touchdown. He had a drop touchdown. That is what it is. Big number for me is 0 interceptions. Another big number for me is 2 sacks. Now, we could talk about those sacks if you would like. You could talk about losing 19 yards on a sack, trying to backpedal a defensive lineman and then rolling into another defensive lineman. Maybe not the best, but only two sacks, despite the fact that he was constantly under pressure and under pressure from interior pressure. I actually think that that was a pretty good result, all things considered, that he did not force a ball into traffic. He had that one that was just like a 108 mile an hour heater over the middle that got bounced up and Rome caught it and then fumbled it and Tevin recovered it. You know, insane play. I don't know why he needed to throw a heater there, but that was inaccurate. That could have been a bad play. And then he got the couple of the batted balls, but he wasn't throwing in a triple coverage. He didn't make the Will Levis decision, right? Yeah. Like he didn't do anything like that. And even despite all of that pressure, only two sacks. So I think that there's some pretty good silver lining to this stat sheet when you watch the game and marry that. I think that there's a number of throws that just weren't made because they were tipped and pressure and batted balls and that kind of stuff. I mean, you can't make excuses for that all the time. Yeah. But in terms of an overall game and what was out there, no real huge mistakes beyond that sack that he took.
Flus talked about it in his press conference today that he thought Caleb made good decisions, you know, with the ball. I mean, he was smart with it. Obviously, the sack was terrible. You know, I'm not sure if that sack or the other sack took him out of field goal range.
That sack definitely.
That was the one. So that was the one where you're like, okay, you know, I mean, I'm sure he'll learn from that. You know, probably thought he can make a move there. But if you watch enough NFL football, that's a rookie sack. You see rookies take that specific sack so often around the league. You're just like, okay, he'll learn from that eventually. But then as the game went on, I thought there was some really smart plays. There was one play where he had a scramble. It was like a third and forever. And he was really decisive when he knew, okay, I'm just going to get enough yards to make this an easier field goal for my guy. He knew he couldn't get the first down. But, you know, he was just smart with the ball. He dropped back. He saw the lane open. He took off and got some yards. Another play on a scramble. He kind of went to the sideline and kind of slid early to not go out of bounds to keep the clock running. You know, so you see these awareness things from him where you're like, okay, let's just get some of these kinks worked out here, because the Caleb we saw yesterday was not the guy we saw in college. In college, we saw him use multiple. You talk about the fastball. He knew when to take stuff off his pass in college. Yesterday, a lot of it was fastballs. It's almost like he was just, you know, I know he said he had the quote of Hard Knocks, so I don't get nervous. I think he may have been a little nervous. I mean,
come on, man. Yeah. He had to have.
Overthrows, you know.
Yeah, he was juiced. Yeah. I mean, he threw that one ball to Keenan Allen like Keenan Allen was Usain Bolt. Like, yeah. I mean, you can't do it. Like, it just, and that that would have been another big play. And again, another explosive play that was there and just not executed. It's right there, man. I mean, give the Titans credit. You don't get to go do the like, oh, well, only if. I understand that. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to wish cast or make excuses, but I went back and watched that thing, man. And I was like, it's close. It's close. Maybe down to Houston, maybe that jitter will be out and we'll see what happens. Right. I mean, Houston's a good football team, but I'm not sure they have interior defensive linemen like the Titans do. You know,
they it's have just, it's Mario, week. Mario Edwards Jr. is one of their starting defensive tackles, former Bear.
Okay. So maybe Tevin will have an okay game. Anything else you want to say about Caleb before we take a break and move on to the three Bears?
No, I mean, it wasn't what we wanted to see, but I think it's okay. I mean, it's fine. Let's not overreact. I mean, I don't like delving into Facebook much. I have to from time to time, but oh my God, the Facebook Bears fans, some of them just want it to fail so bad. Like they can't wait just to kind of say, I told you so, but
they're miserable people.
Oh my God. Some of the most miserable, like, come on guys, you know? And again, I know it's a small part. I mean, it's what's the thing, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right?
So yeah, it's 10% of the, we get it. And for those of you that are watching us live streaming on Facebook, we know that that's not you. We're not talking to you. We're talking to that 10% that just seems to wallow in their self-pity. Good save, right? Good save. Okay, we'll take a quick break here. On the other side of it, we'll do everybody's favorite segment, the Three Bears. Stick with us.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
All right, Lester, three Bears time. First bowls of porridge getting handed out in the 2024 season. Let's start with the hot bowl of porridge. Who you got?
I'm going with the Chicago Bears Pro Bowl corner, Jalen Johnson. Ooh. You know, I kind of watch. I'm like, well, that's what we expect, right, out of Jalen Johnson. We expect him to be good, but he took it to another level. I mean, he was allowed one catch for negative 2 yards. He had the pick. You know, he had one forced incompletion, 2.8 passer rating allowed when Will Levis was throwing his way. You know, I saw the comment last year, right? They said that if a quarterback would just throw it in the dirt, they'd have a better rating. 2.8 pass rating allowed. He was good. You know, he probably should have had two picks. The one he kind of misjudged. You kind of watch him when you do that. And when I was watching the replay again today, it's almost like he was setting up the receiver because he was beat on that play.
He undercut him. Yeah. He played trail coverage.
Yes. Yeah. But like the way he did it, you kind of saw him thinking, okay, I know I got this, you know, I have the speed to kind of be with him. And yeah, he could have had a second pick there, but Jalen Johnson, why would you throw towards him if you're an opposing quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, Levis could have beat him with probably a perfect throw there, but that perfect throw would have been, 50 yards in the air or something? I mean, I can't picture it in my mind. But and he gets hit. So, you know, he's the ball trajectory is altered. So that's why it was a duck. But I agree with you. It felt like he was trying to say, okay, sure, beat me over the top. And anything that's anywhere close to on target or short, I've got you. Yeah. Great call there. I had him written down in just right in case we wanted to mention him because he is really good and just kind of like, hey, we expect this from him. He's one of the best corners in the league and he was second team all pro last year. Right. And yes, the not top 100 thing is ridiculous, but also if he would have gotten that pick, I would have cashed the Will Levis 3-pick bet. If all things being equal, which of course they wouldn't be because that's not how football works, but I was a little irresponsible with a couple of my long shot bets yesterday, but it was fun. And I do not regret that. I do not regret it because I thought Will Levis was going to get eaten alive and he ended up getting eaten alive. So it was great.
You know, as long as you're betting on stuff that you can afford to bet on, it's fun to do. You know,
those are when I say irresponsible long shot bets, I'm putting sprinkles on. These are not like, I'm not betting a lot of money. They're just little sprinkle bets. They're fun. It's fun. Honestly, like I thought that the most obvious bet on the board yesterday was Will Levis under like 230 yards. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm just going to take this free money. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to make this I'm going to make a couple of, like, you know, kind of crazy bets. So I had like a 50-yard Roma Dunze catch, 50-yard or longer Roma Dunze catch. That didn't happen. You know, but just things like that. All right, my hot bowl porridge here. I'm going to go with, well, I had a couple written down and you didn't take it. I want to mention that the punt block, this is not my award, but the punt block deserves some talk here. So Daniel Hardy with a block. I love punt blocks. That's fantastic. Like, I don't remember the last punt block like that, but they're fun. And then the scoop and score, you know, like that's what you're taught, scoop and score. It's not like recover it, because that's a live ball. You want to, if that other team, if the Titans recover it, you still get the ball, right? So it's not like fight for the fumble. It's score this thing.
Yeah.
So the fact that Owens was able to do it so cleanly and just score, it's fantastic. Loved it. Great play. I've already watched it 7 times. One of my favorite plays from the week, and it'll be on the highlight reel for the year. So I want to make sure that we give them some credit. We talked about DeAndre Carter. I didn't know anything about him, and so he's a perfect hot bowl of porridge candidate here. So I think he deserves some recognition. We'll find him at least a cup of porridge here. But I'm going to give it to Taylor. I'm going to give it to Darrell Taylor. I didn't know what to expect. You know, to me, he seems kind of one dimensional, but he showed a little bit more than that. But also just, I knew he was a high effort guy. I knew that by going back and watching some of the Seahawks stuff, but really seeing it just consistently all game long and having success getting around the edge, really schooling that rookie, Latham, who I like, right? He seems like a really good guy and a good player. So it was really fun to see. And so just by definition of a guy that exceeds my expectations, Darrell Taylor and his 2 sacks gets my hot bowl of porridge this week.
I like that. Taylor's a good pick there. You know, I like mentioning Carter. You got to sprinkle it out a little bit here, because, you know, it was a win. You know, we got to have a little more on the scales. We got to have a little more positive than negative. So I like that.
Do you ever order a bowl of soup at a restaurant?
I have in the past.
You have once or twice, right? I kind of like some soup, like Asian soups and stuff, but there's always like a cup and a bowl, right? Like,
oh,
you
yeah,
want
yeah.
The cup, you want the cup for like $3 and the bowl for like $6-$7, right? I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe we can give cups. Porridge, okay. Right? You know, just little cups, but the big bowl goes to Taylor. And again, you could give this to Billings too, but I think you actually need more than we like Billings. So yeah. maybe that's what we expect, but you need more than a bowl for Billings. You need like a trough for Billings, because he's a big guy. He needs more. Let's flip it around. Cold bowl of porridge, guy that did not meet expectations.
You know, I was all set to go with center Coleman Shelton.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching the game and I'm like, well, Nate Davis kind of sucked too. And then I'm watching the game and I'm like, wow, Tevin Jenkins got beat a few times here pretty badly.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching Ryan Bates get ran over. So my cold bowl goes to the entire interior Bears offensive line. And yeah, they played against a pretty good tandem at defensive tackle, but this was rough. It wasn't just, you know, getting beat one-on-ones. It wasn't just getting beat with bull rushes. They were getting out-quicked. They were making mistakes on stunts. Just stupid stuff. And you're like, what's happening here? And look, we have kind of questioned the O-line of the Bears here for a few years now. We've kind of talked about, you know, Chris Morgan, the O-line coach. You know, is it a Morgan thing? Is it a Getsy thing, you know, in years past? And now here we are again. We're seeing some of these mistakes. And, you know, week one, obviously, it could kind of go away. But, you know, at some point, Chris Morgan's going to be like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, why are you not teaching your guy to kind of stay home, like, and not leave your area? Because if there's no one there and you're on the O-line, someone's coming to you. If your guy goes away, odds are someone's coming back to you on a stunt. And then they got burned. It was just a bad, bad group.
Yeah, I mean, the one that you're referring to, at least the one that I'm thinking of, it was Coleman Shelton.
Yeah, bad Coleman Shelton one, terrible.
Coleman Shelton going over, looking for work, if you will. Like, he's trying he's going over and he's trying to engage in the defensive tackle that's engaged with the guard. I guess it would have been probably Davis. And then as he does that, as he pushes, here's the looping defensive end coming in. And was that the other sack? I think that was a sack, right?
Yeah, it might have been a sack.
So that was the second sack. And I think, you know, in Caleb's defense, that one, Caleb could have got rid of that. Sure. Also, like, that's on him. And not expected. Those games will kind of surprise you. And Shelton should have been able to take care of that. So I have names written down on the interior offensive line. I mean, I know we could pile on Velus for that mistake. I'm not going to do that. I mean, we could, we very well could, but I also don't expect a lot out of him. So what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's interior offensive line. And during our preview show, that's all we were talking about. What are you worried about? What keeps you up at night? Lack of, you know, a second rusher, you know, maybe these guys aren't going to work out and the defense isn't going to be as good as it could be. And then a lot of talk about the offensive line. And then at one point I was like, you know, I've kind of talked myself into this offensive line a little bit. And Bill and I were talking, you know, and it was like, yeah, it's not a high ceiling group, right? I mean, there's a couple guys that you feel good about if they're really going well. You know, you feel good about Darnell Wright's draft pedigree. You feel good about Tevin Jenkins when he's out on the field, right? Like, you feel good about the high end of a couple of those guys, but, you know, overall as a unit, this is a group that you just, they got a floor, they got a ceiling. There's not much difference between those two, but like, you feel good about it. And then they just got destroyed by what may be elite talent, or also just, I don't know, just getting their lunch handed to them. So it has to be them, because I think if they have a acceptable game, we're talking about a very different outcome here. We're talking about a very different Caleb Williams stat line. We're talking about a very different DeAndre Swift, and, you know, maybe Khalil Herbert gets a few more carries because the run game's working a little better. Like, it really ruined the entire rhythm of the offense and nothing could happen. So there's only one answer. It's just that.
Yeah, it's rough, because where did help come from? I mean, today Coach Flew said that right guard is still a competition. You know, that's why they rotated Davis and Bates. But like I said, Bates got, you know, Bates was better than Davis, I thought, when the snaps I saw him in. But there was still, I mean, the one play where he just got bulldozed. You're like, oh my God, this can't be. And Bates was signed to be your center, or he was acquired to be your center. So do you like him better at center? I understand you're kind of forced, your hand is forced. Now you got to play him there. You know, maybe your best lineup would be Bates at center and then maybe Matt Pryor at guard. I mean, who knows? At some point, you got to try some other combinations here. And, you know, Matt Pryor is a pro. He's been around the league for a long time. I mean, he's played a lot of positions there. So, you know, Davis, that blunder's going to go down in history as one of Ryan Poles' worst ever.
Yep. And, you know, after this year, he can get out of it. But that is what it is. When you sign those guaranteed deals like that, You're really committing to that player for that amount of time. I mean, it's at some point, unless that player is just, you know, a negative and you need to get rid of him on the roster. But, you know, if he loses his starting job and he becomes a backup, that is what it is. All right. How about your just right guy that you basically played how you expected him to?
You know, I want to give kudos to the entire special teams unit. So okay. I'm going to give it to special teams coordinator coach Richard Hightower. You know, we talked about the block punt. He schemed it up nicely. I mean, that was a nice play from him. Kenya Hardy made the play, obviously, but, you know, the way they kind of overloaded it kind of made a move there. There was a really nice play design on the DeAndre Carter kick return, which is something we're going to start seeing more, right? Because it's this new dynamic, they're calling it. You know, they're kind of – it's more of a play now in front of him, where he had, I think it might have been blasting game, kind of pulling, and he was kind of kicking out, where it's like, okay, that's cool. It's kind of seeing how they're going to do that stuff there. The coverage units were sound in both punt and kick return. Jalen Jones, I think, had three special teams tackles. Torrey Taylor. Did we mention Torrey Taylor yet?
Nope.
Three punts inside the 20. You know, I thought he was good. I mean, he had one where it kind of, again, we talk about bounces. He had one where it kind of bounced and it kind of went to the sideways, but a little too deep into the end zone. Cairo Santos, money again. The new long snapper, Scott Daly, you know, he did his job correctly. He got flagged once, but, you know, overall, special teams as a whole. Now, of course, we talk about Velus, and, you know, pulling Velus was the right call, whether it was Coach Flus made that decision or Hightower made the decision. You know, that was the right call, getting Velus out of there. So this may be a first. You know, Richard Hightower with the just right.
I think it might be a first. And you touched on a lot of things. We already talked about Carter. We talked about the punt block. I will say two penalties on the six punts was unfortunate, because that added yardage from the end of the kick. And for someone who, me, is trying to track the punting this year and trying to figure out how to represent that and how to talk about that and how to make it more real so that people understand like what's a good punt, what's you know, based on where the field position is. And these guys, Puntalytics, I've been talking to them, and they put out their weekly punt. You know, I know there's another game tonight, but they put out where everybody's at for week one punting. And Taylor was below average. Like he was on the bottom half of the graph. And when I crunched my numbers, he was slightly above average from what, and then we could be using slightly different numbers. I mean, I think my numbers are pretty good, but I asked him, I said, what's going on here? Like, are you using the penalty yardage? Or are you using pre-penalty? And I'm not sure what's better. Like, I'm not sure what the better approach is. But I did not use the penalties. Like I used the field position before the penalty was enforced. And they're like, no, we use the starting field position. So that counts against him. And so I don't know what the right answer is. That the right answer as a punting unit would include the penalty.
Yeah.
And then if you gave up, let's say you gave up a big return, but there was a penalty on the other team, and then, you know, that ball gets put 10 yards further back from where that guy fielded it. I mean, you'd want to take credit for that. There was a penalty on the Titans on one of the punts, and I didn't include that. Right. So I went like no penalties, but I'm not sure that works from a statistical standpoint. Anyway, my point is there's a good idea. Like, you can tell from where the line of scrimmage is, where the expected next field position should be. And then there's a value associated with that on the expected yards per drive from that field position. So I charted all of that out. So I know what the expectation is for each punt from the 5-yard line, you know, the 38-yard line, whatever. And then where Taylor was able to hit those and where the next field position is, there's a point value associated with that. And I've calculated the difference. And it was basically a slightly better than the expectation for those six punts. And part of that is that punt that went into the end zone for a touchback that dropped on the 5. Now, if that gets downed at the 1, we're talking about like a really positive outcome for the day, because he would turn a negative into a positive. So I think over time, it'll be really good, interesting and fun to see how this maps out. And I think that he's going to be, I think he will be a weapon. Like, I think he's going to like show positive results week in, week out, but the noise associated with just six punts and, you know, the things that happen would really show that like you need a lot more data. So I know that's way too much punter talk. I saved it for the end at least, but yes,
we knew we'd get there at some point.
I do think it's interesting, and I'm going to invest some time into trying to, you know, understand this and figure this out and try to explain this to people.
It's interesting because you got to keep it consistent, right? Like if they're going to use the penalty yardage, I think that's how the NFL does. The NFL counts that as your net punt yards. They factor that in. I think that's probably why they do it that way. But if you're going to do it without penalty yards, as long as you're consistent, I think that's the way to go. And I will say, I did in my Dynasty Fantasy League, the opposing team, I had to face Tory Taylor this week, and he put up 6 points against me.
Who was your punter?
I have the punter for Seattle. He right, had 3 Dixon. Points for me. Yes, I believe that's who I have. Or maybe, is it? Yes, I think it is. He's a punter. I don't really think that.
He's a punter. Who cares? Yeah. I know the names of like 10 of the punters.
So I couldn't get Taylor, so I'm like, I'm just going to take the next best guy on my board. And, you know, but I did face Tory Taylor, so it's kind of cool to, you know.
You had a punter board because you sent me a message and said, what's my, I pick fourth. What's my punter board look like? So I sent you 4 names.
Yeah,
that was your punter board. That was the direct message that I sent you,
because I picked so I was good, you know. And then I got my guy right below Taylor, so I was good place.
All right, I don't know that I have much else for this victory Monday. Do you have anything you want to add before we get out of here?
I think we're good, man. We covered it. It's there's a game tonight. It should be fun. Let's see if Aaron Rodgers can make it through more than 3 snaps.
Through 3 snaps. Yeah.
So
All right. Well, we'll end it here for the podcast. We'll stick around for a couple minutes to do questions before the Monday night football game starts. For those of you listening, thank you so much. And we will be here every single week after the game, almost always on Monday. So if you want to join us live, we are on YouTube at Second City Gridiron. And we start at 6 o'clock Central Time. So, you know, we're very punctual. We have been late very few times. And so come join us and have a beverage and enjoy. But until next time, bear down.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.